Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris. He's Rob. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it 15, live.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. We got our man, Charlie Casserly, the former NFL general manager, now NFL network analyst, coming up at the bottom of the hour. Rob, this also is a what?
A trash talking Tuesday.
Wowzy, wowzy, woo, woo.
Yes, sir.
That's right. You could trash anyone, anything in the world of sports, including Rob Parker, in the third hour of the show.
Nick, so right now, is that ready. It? Nick's going to call up?
I'm just saying. So get your takes ready. Come strong. You got about 30 to 40 seconds to do your thing. You can also follow Rob and me on social media. Rob is at Rob Parker FS1 on both Twitter and Instagram. I am at Chris_Broussard on Twitter, ChrisBroussard68 on the gram. All right. We're going to move, believe it or not, to some baseball.
Yes, sir.
Because our resident baseball expert, or so-called expert, I should say, he's got a hot take that you think could really change history. Let's say it's history making. How about that?
Yes.
And go ahead and share.
Well, Chris, the 2021 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot was released yesterday, right? And for the first time in like 7 years, there is, Chris, no shoe-in guy. And what I mean by that, when Mariano Rivera was on the ballot, right?
Right.
And Derek Jeter, you knew those guys were getting in.
But they wouldn't be unanimous.
Huh? Yeah.
But they wouldn't be unanimous.
Right. I'm just saying.
I know.
Right. Jeter missed it by one.
Right.
But my point is, there is nobody like that on the list. Like,
is there
the new
a limit to how many can go in 1 year?
No.
Okay.
But there's only you only have 10
votes. And there's
votes.
No minimum, of course.
Right.
Right.
There've been years where there've been none, Chris. Right.
Right.
So okay. It's not based off of that. But my point is, like, some of the names. Torrey Hunter, Barry Zito. These are all first-time people who are Mark Burley, Tim Hudson. Chris, they were all good players, right? But they're not Hall of Famers.
Right.
Okay? They're not Hall of Famers.
Right.
So to me, this is the year. This is year 9 for Clemens and for Bonds. This should be the year, Chris. Put those guys in together, because they're attached by the hip, aren't they? They really are.
They are.
Both great players who would be first ballot Hall of Famers if it wasn't for the PEDs and the juice, even though they never tested positive, they were never suspended during their MLB career, anything.
Right.
But most people believe that they were involved in the scandal that rocked baseball. I think this is the perfect scenario and situation. And remember, they only have 10 years, Chris. If it's not this year, they'd have one more year. And I think this is the year.
Here's what I'm going to throw at you, Rob. And you are a voter. Why? I get what you're saying about there's no, none of the new guys are obvious Hall of Famers. Or maybe even Hall of Famers, period.
Right.
But... How's that going to change things for Bonds and Clemens? That's why I was trying to clarify with you. It's not like I gotta put somebody in.
No.
It's not like I can only put in 3 guys. So, if there was a Rivera or a Jeter, that was gonna take a spot from Bonds or Clemens. Like, what do you think's going to change in the minds of these voters? And I know you vote for these two.
Right.
But what about all the guys that don't? Because they were at, what, 61% last year?
61%. But here's the thing,
you
got to
get
Chris,
75%.
And I'm glad you said that, because what we've seen the last couple of years is that guys have been getting in on their 10th try. Do you know what I mean? Like, people who haven't been voted for, I cited in the column on Deadspin, Larry Walker, Chris, in his 10th year, between his 9th and 10th, he went from 54% to 76.
Yeah,
between and 10.
And that's kind of cheap.
Of course it is.
Larry Walker, we know he was nice up there.
He wasn't a Hall of Famer. He didn't get my vote.
But to your point, if you're 54% in your 9th year,
yes,
really, now you make it in your 10th, it smacks of a little bit of it seems a little bit cheap.
Chris, he went from 54.6 to 76.6. So he 20 points.
Are Bonds and Clemens rising every year?
Yes, they have not gone
every
down.
Year.
That's the thing. Like, they're going in the right direction. And let me give you the other guy who's on the ballot too, like Sammy Sosa. Sammy Sosa, Chris, is only getting 13.6% of the vote. He only got 55 votes. He's in year 9 with Bonds and Clemens. You see what I'm saying?
He's not getting in.
So he's not getting in. He's at 55 votes, and you need 75% of the 415 votes or whatever it is. And that's why I'm saying, but if you're going to, instead of waiting for their final year to give Bonds and Clemens, put them together in a year where you're not taking away votes from other Hall of Famers. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, you could justify, like, I'm not, like, there's nobody else to vote for.
Well, you get 10, though, right?
Yeah, but you don't have to use all 10. I don't use all 10.
Even if there were 3 guys that are definite Hall of Famers, I don't think that should affect Bonds and Clemens. Here's the thing, though. You sound like you think it's automatic. Well, not automatic, but you think they're getting in at the very least in the 10th year.
I do. I absolutely do. Only because
obviously, I wonder. I mean, you know more baseball writers than I do as far as being close to them, but clearly the reason these two aren't in, we all know, it's their association with PEDs. So it's not like they're borderline guys like a Larry Walker or guys that really aren't quite Hall of Famers, but guys throw them in their last year. You think writers are punishing them?
Yes.
Is that what
this is a punishment to make them wait. Not that they're not. And here's the other thing, Chris. Jeff Bagwell got in. I think he had to wait 7 years. Jeff Bagwell, his name was always in rumors about steroid use. Piazza got in, and Pudge Rodriguez, who was in the Canseco book. Canseco said, he wrote, Chris, and that book has turned out to be what?
Right.
Gospel.
Yep.
He wrote that he used to stick Pudge with the needle. He said he did it.
Yep.
So all I'm saying is, if you're a baseball writer and you voted for Pudge and you voted for Piazza and you voted for Bagwell, dude, you can't. If you told me nobody, Chris, under suspicion were in the Hall of Fame, then I'd have to respect their vote. But you're telling me that guys who will have a questionable situation or you know, career are in. So this has to be, to me, just the ultimate punishment. Make them wait. And then ultimately at the 10th year, Chris, you go, you know what? This wouldn't be a Hall of Fame without those two guys. Most of the people alive on this planet right now or in this country, Chris, will look at Roger Clemens and say, he's the best right-handed pitcher I ever saw.
Right.
And Barry Bonds, you say it. Skip Bayless says it. I say it. Most people, Barry Bonds, the best player you saw. Am I right?
No question. Here, to me, the best argument for these two is this, Rob. Let's just keep it real. And again, you know a lot of these baseball writers. And we know how protective they are of history.
Yes.
And
more so than any other sport,
so than any other sport. But here's where, to me, they willingly turn a blind eye. And I'm relying a lot on what, you know, the former pitcher Tom House said, who pitched in the 60s and 70s.
Yep.
And he said in USA Today, guys in the 60s, 70s, and on up were using anything they could get their hands on. Steroids, all types
Greenies.
Of stuff. Yet, well, we know Greenies used to be in the clubhouse.
They were stimulus like a bowl of M&Ms, Chris.
Right. And all the guys would pick, you know, as you're walking out to the to the field from the clubhouse.
Pick up a handful.
You pick up a handful and you take them. Those are banned substances today. Amphetamines, right?
Yes.
So if we know, who knows who? I mean, for all we know, Hank Aaron, right? I mean, not to take anything from him.
No, but
he
played
today. He probably was taking Greenies. Like, everybody was doing it. It was no big deal. And so if we know that was going on in the 60s, 70s, 80s, then how can we punish these guys who, at that time, it wasn't even illegal?
Here's another thing. You ready? You know, we remember the Mitchell Report came out. Chris, on the Mitchell Report, there were 89 players who either admitted to PED use or were rumored to, you know, like they're listed.
They were caught or whatever. You're right.
Right. They were listed. 89 players. Some of those guys could be, their names are not going to be released. Some of those guys could be in the Hall of Fame already, is right. My point. Right. It ain't like this is just Bonds and Clemens. We need to get off of that. Here's the other thing that people are wrong when they talk about Bonds. Chris, he only hit over 50 home runs once. That was the year he hit 73. I get it. It's a big number.
Amazing. Yeah.
But that's right. Most people think he hit 50 every year.
Right.
And here's
the
other thing.
He had 73 is the only year he was over 50.
Over 50.
But I do think he was using during those 40, you know, 49, 46.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying, like, but people think.
5-year period or whatever.
But people think that was, he started using it and then he was hitting 50 or 60 home runs a year,
right,
I'm saying,
right.
Is like the mindset. And the other thing is, more pitchers have been busted using the juice, Chris, than hitters. So when Bonds was up there at the plate and Andy Pettit, who got busted, and Clemens and all these other guys, he was probably facing guys on the juice as well.
Oh,
let's
there's
not
no doubt.
Act like it's just hitters.
Right. But it look, I get why people want to protect it. You never want to reward cheaters, right? It's just you don't want to reward cheaters, right? I get it. But the fact is, like you said, we don't know who was doing it. It was pitchers. It was hitters. You kind of just got to bite the bullet and, you know, respect that era for what it was. And I think put those guys, especially if they weren't caught. It's one thing if they were like a Manny Ramirez or something. You know what I mean? It's one, like, I think Manny's a Hall of Famer.
Right, but Manny, what hurts Manny, Chris, and why I won't vote for him. Manny got busted two times after they put the new rules in.
Right.
See, Bonds and Clemens, this is before they said, you can't use that stuff. That's why I think it's unfair to
right.
them.
It's just like what I said was in the 70s and 80s.
Right.
It wasn't illegal. They weren't going against any rules.
Right, there were no rules in place.
Yeah, they weren't going against any rules. And you can blame baseball for not having the rules if you want, but the fact is they weren't going against any rules. They weren't breaking rules. So I hear you. I mean, let's just keep it real, Rob. It ain't a Hall of Fame without Bonds and Clemens.
I totally agree.
It's not. At least Pete Rose, we can say, well, he was, you know, cheating, you know, betting on games.
And Chris, that messes with the integrity. You notice you covered the Indians, right? When you walk into that clubhouse, what's the biggest sign you see in there? It's about gambling on the sport. Am
right.
I right?
Right.
And it says you'll right. be banned from the game if they catch you.
Yep. So it's interesting, man. I'm interested to see how this vote, you know, eventually goes, because obviously they should be in the Hall of Fame. But you know, we'll see if your theory is right, Rob Parker. 877-99 on Fox. We're going to open it up to you guys. Should Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens be voted into the Hall of Fame this year? We will continue the conversation with you next. It's Chris and Rob, The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And we're brought to you by AutoZone. Now, check this out. Are you dealing with a dead battery in your car? If so, head to AutoZone. It's America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. So next time you're having trouble with your battery, head to AutoZone. It's your battery solution and America's number one battery destination. All right, Rob, let's get to it. 877-99 on Fox. Should this be the year, folks, that Bonds and Clemens get into the Hall of Fame?
All right, Robert in Florida, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Robert?
Thanks for taking my call, and it's great to hear you guys finally agree on some things. I will say that skinny Barry Bonds belongs in the Hall of Fame way before the steroids.
Yeah, but you can't separate the man.
Here's the one thing I'll throw at you. And we all get that. A lot of us has probably said, Rob, they were Hall of Famers. Him and Clemens were Hall of Famers
before. He won three MVPs in Pittsburgh. Right.
But let's keep it real. And I don't think they were on steroids, him and Clemens, early in their career, or, you know, PEDs.
No, right.
But we don't know. They're playing, you know, you can take stuff that doesn't make you bulk up.
Yes.
Too.
And there are plenty of players, Chris, you're right. Plenty of players. If I gave you the list of guys who got busted, you can look at them and they don't have muscles.
Right.
They don't.
Right. But if muscle-bound Pudge Rodriguez is a Hall of Famer, why not skinny Barry Bonds? And what about all the amphetamine users from the 60s, 70s,
and 80s? Agree.
We agree.
Robert, we're with you, buddy. We're with you.
Yeah, a PED is a PED.
Right.
Absolutely.
We agree with you.
No doubt about it.
That's a fine line in sports, Rob. That's at some point going to have to be dealt with. What is the line? Because, you know, if I go take some creatine, is that PED? You know, that's legal, but, you know.
But there's certain things on the list. We've seen NFL players who, Chris, take different supplements, and they get busted, and they get four-game suspension.
They got it at GNC.
Exactly. Brian in Kansas, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love the show.
Thank you, buddy.
That was my point about Bonds and Clemens both. At that point in their careers, they were the best at their positions, and Bonds was the best in baseball for a long time before he ever got accused of taking steroids.
Yep.
Right.
You know what, Brian?
He never tested positive. Neither one of them tested positive. So, I mean, it seems like they should have been in the Hall of Fame years ago.
No doubt about it, but the writers are the ones who have to vote. And let me just make this clear, Chris, because I don't know if people understand this. The BBWAA, you know, people say, well, take it away from the writers. You know, those guys, they don't know what they're doing or whatever. Guess what? Those were our awards, Chris, that baseball adopted. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right.
It ain't the other way around.
Right. And we've talked about it before, Rob. I mean, you can criticize writers and reporters all you want. They are the most objective people in sports.
Yes.
They are. And I'm not saying everybody is objective, and probably none of us are 100% objective.
No.
But we are far more objective than the athletes,
the coaches,
anybody else that would, the fans. We are.
Yep.
It's been proven, and it's not even up for debate.
Yep, no doubt. Nate in Connecticut, you're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Nate?
Hey, guys, what's up?
What's up,
how you?
Yeah, I just think that when they took steroids, they knew they were going to get punished. It's a terrible thing to do. It really, and you could say that they weren't sure tested positive, but there's speculations that they did. And I think they should be punished, rightfully so, even more than just World Series, than getting into the Hall of Fame. I think they rightfully not should go to the Hall of Fame.
Hey, Nate.
So you think they shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame?
Hey, Nate, you know what? Let me say this to him, Chris. Here's where the slippery slope, because we already named some players who are also questionable. But why is Tony La Russa's in the Hall of Fame? Guess what players, Chris, helped Tony La Russa win two World Series?
Canseco and McGuire, right?
McGuire, Canseco, and then in St. Louis and Oakland. Why Joe Torre won World Series? He's in the Hall of Fame as a manager. Did he not benefit from some Yankees using the juice, Chris?
No, you're right. That's a great point. And people don't think about that.
Nobody,
it's true.
Right. Nobody wants to take the championships away from the Yankees or the Red Sox,
or
Big Poppy, Manny, or Tony La Russa. We counted for everybody except for Bonds and Clemens.
And then here's the other thing. And Rob, you know I've been beating this drum for the last year. Baseball, you're not punishing the Astros for cheating. But you're going to punish Bonds and Clemens, who right. were never caught for the, you know, for the innuendo, the
speculation,
circumstantial evidence, right. speculation, all that. I mean, come on.
How about Mike in Tampa? You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Mike?
Bobby,
hey, hello, turn your radio down, Mike.
Turn your radio down. Turn your radio down.
Oh, it's down. How are you
okay,
guys doing?
Got you.
Doing good,
man. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I feel that in Bonds' case, both guys should be in the Hall of Fame, but in Bonds' case especially, he's one of the most feared hitters. And I know a couple of ex-baseball players, and they'll tell you that Bonds was clearly one of the most feared hitters in the history of the game. And I feel that some of that is the writers really don't like Barry Bonds because he didn't really, like, play the game for his
Let me tell you this, though, Mike. Different type of guy.
He's not. He wasn't a nice guy. I'm going to sit here and tell you, all right, from
did
personal
you have
experience.
Any, did, what, yeah, what were,
yeah
was
he,
say,
wasn't,
what,
he wasn't nice to the media. It didn't matter, Chris, no matter who you were. Right. The only guy you used to talk to was Chuck Johnson, a brother from USA Today,
yeah,
who was a baseball writer. You know
yeah.
Chuck.
Yep.
So, but let me tell you this. As much as he didn't like the media and some writers didn't like Barry Bonds, they voted him MVP 7 times. That's
that
all
goes
I'm gonna say.
To what we were talking about. The
this
objectivity.
Is right, Chris, right?
Right? Yep.
He doesn't that, like us. We don't like
point.
Him. Yep. They voted for him 7 times. They didn't punish him once because he wasn't a nice guy. The 7 times he was the best player in the National League, he won the MVP every time.
Yep. No, that's a great point. That's a great point. All right. We are going to swing over to the NFL, and we're wondering, have NFL defenses officially caught up with Lamar Jackson? Former NFL GM Charlie Casserly has the answer next. But first,
be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
He's a former NFL general manager, NFL network analyst right now, and a friend of The Odd Couple, our man Charlie Casserly. Charlie, how are you?
Hey, great, guys. How you doing?
Doing we are good. Great to have you on, as always. Let's start with Baltimore. And there's growing talk that the league, I don't want to say has figured out Lamar, because obviously the Ravens are still a very good team and they're winning. But what do you think of, you know, his numbers are way down from last year. He's not as effective. He doesn't look as quite as elusive to me as last year. What do you make of the season he's having, and what do you kind of see for him going forward?
Well, I got to put a plug in here. NFL Now, Friday afternoon, 1 to 3 Eastern time, we're going to dissect how they're defending Lamar Jackson and the option. However, I'm going to give you the answer now, okay? That's the
no,
video.
That's good, no, so that people can
that,
tune in.
Good.
I love
yep.
it.
Okay. Okay, common sense says that in the offseason, teams were going to spend – time studying Baltimore, studying the option. Not that they didn't know it, but now they had time to study it and practice against it. All right, we have no offseason. But one team in training camp that played and did well against them defensively took 15 minutes in every practice to practice defending the option. So when I'm watching tape on them, people are defending the option much better than a year ago. Okay? And because they've studied it, I'm sure they found some tendencies, they've practiced it more. And so basically, now it's evolved. Now the defense has caught up with the offense. I think schematically they're executing better against it. They're still a good power running team, but there's some, you know, Yonder was a big loss for them. So, you know, the offensive line isn't quite as good, so they're not quite as dominant on their end. But defending him in the option is taking away some big plays. And the passing part of it, a year ago, he got better from year to one to two. Because he had a lot of time to get coached in the offseason training camp. He didn't have that this year. So the improvement in the passing game from the outside the hashes and deep, which they hope to get, is not there. The game plan has always been make him throw from the pocket and beat it. If you can get ahead, that's the best thing, because it can have built to come from behind. So I hope that answers your question.
Well, Charlie, is this similar at all to – you know, Kaepernick took the league by storm with Greg Roman out in San Francisco, and then people kind of seem to catch up to him. Is it similar?
Yes. It is ironically the same offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, is in both situations. But the difference, as I saw it, was on the dive part where they handed it to the back. People weren't defending that worth a crap. Because Kaepernick didn't run the option, running the ball, to me, off the option. Now, he scrambled a lot, as much as Jackson did a year ago. So in this case, it's catching up with the offense, but it's more, to me, defending the quarterback on the option part of it as opposed to the dive. Baltimore, it's interesting. When you play them, number one thing people will tell you, you got to stop the power run game. Then they go to Lamar Jackson. Okay? I get that, but to me, I'm going to talk about Lamar Jackson on television because I think that, you know, that's important. And in stopping the run game, they basically bring eight people in the box, and you have to have one to take the quarterback. And what's happened here, well, I'm kind of switching gears. I don't mean to do that. The injuries have hurt them, but they still run the ball pretty effectively. But yep. The quarterback hasn't improved throwing the football.
Right. Well, speaking of quarterbacks, Jameis Winston going to take over in New Orleans. With the injury to Drew Brees for a few weeks at least or so. What do you expect out of Jameis Winston? This is a great opportunity for him. We saw Teddy Bridgewater last year. Charlie, engineered them to a 5-0 record, and he got a new deal and a new team. How big is this for Jameis?
It's huge. I'm really fascinated as to what we're going to see. This guy had good coaches in every situation he's been in. So it's not as if he has head coaching. In college, he had an element of inaccuracy, whether it's his footwork, his release, et cetera. It's a little bit of everything. Because everybody told me they were going to change it, see, and then never got better. And he had good coaches. Will under pressure throw the ball up and force it. Will also force them into tight windows. So, 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions. I think that was the stat a year ago. New Orleans, when they signed him, basically said, this will never happen. He'll never throw 30 interceptions with us. So I'm fascinated to see, is this guy going to play within the scheme and be disciplined not to force the ball under pressure, not to force the ball into tight windows? So I'm actually fascinated to see if he can pull it off, okay, right. Going into the scheme. I have no idea.
So Charlie, hold on. Let me ask Charlie. I want to follow up. Taysom Hill, what – why not him? They keep giving this guy contracts and money. They love him, but why not him as quarterback?
Yeah, so it's a fair question. It's a fair question to ask New Orleans because they keep giving him contracts. When I've watched him, I think the guy is a great gimmick guy. I mean, he's if nobody's done this to me like Sean Payton in a long time of inserting a guy in with a Hall of Fame quarterback and yet making the guy productive and not really stalling your offense. So, just sitting there as a drop-back quarterback where he's got to go read the defenses, I'm not sure how good he is at that, getting through his progressions. We haven't seen enough. I haven't seen enough of that to prove that he's really good in that area. So Winston is, to me, I would start Winston. I keep facing the same role he has.
Charlie, is it foolishness to start to question Carson Wentz as a franchise quarterback at this point?
Well, we're not trading him if I'm Philly. I think a lot of things around him haven't gone well. The offensive line, his receivers, the tight end position, which should have been a strength, is, they've had injuries there.
But so, Ertz is out, right?
Right.
Ertz is out. Goddard's back now. And Goddard is better than Ertz, but you got two of them. That's better than one. It obviously gives you more options. So I think a lot of things have happened around him. The book on him is if you pressure him, the ball will come out and he'll force it. He'll throw it up. And I look through every interception he's had, and there's certainly, I don't say a number, but a good number of them, some of them came with him getting out of the pocket and forcing the ball, trying to make a play. He's not a dumb guy. He doesn't play dumb. He tries to make plays too often, either throwing into tight windows or under pressure. And, if you change up your coverages on him, then that kind of affects his accuracy a little bit too. There's more good than bad. Even in the Giant game, I have a phrase called big-time plays. He made a bunch of big-time plays, which are tight window throws under pressure generally.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to cut the turnovers down. There's no question about that.
Well, Charlie, let me ask you this. Chris and I the other day, yesterday, talked about the big Hail Mary, or Hail Murray, as they're calling it, in Arizona. And which one, Charlie, to you, were you more impressed by Hopkins' catch on three defenders, Buffalo defenders, or was it Murray's throw? Which one rates higher for you?
Hopkins' catch. Kyler Murray made a great play because he had to get out of the pocket and get away from people.
Avoid pressure.
The best of two things. The reason I say it is we've seen a lot of Hail Mary throws, okay? A lot more than catches. And this guy goes up there and takes the ball away and catches it. And I've got to give it to him because we've seen guys almost catch balls.
Right.
But it's rare.
No doubt.
Charlie Casserly, NFL Network analyst, former NFL GM. Thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, great to be with you guys. Hey, 1 o'clock Eastern time on Friday, 1 to 3, NFL Now.
Sounds good. Check it out. Thanks, Charlie. All right, more Odd Couple coming your way. Fox Sports Radio. Keep it locked.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's The Odd Couple. Chris and Rob coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. We're going to go back to the NFL. But before that, Rob, we've got, and you were a bit baffled by this when Ralph Ervin read his updates about the New York Daily News reporting that the Nets and the Rockets had agreed to a deal in principle, right? A trade.
Right.
We got all types of conflicting reports, which kind of is maybe par
for the course
in today's world of
journalism. Chris, that's why I was like, what?
Right. Because Tim McMahon from ESPN is reporting. Rob G., read his post, if you don't mind.
Well, it's been aggregated by Real GM, but the money quote here is that the Rockets are, quote, willing to get uncomfortable, end quote, with the trade wishes of Harden and Westbrook and feel no pressure to expedite a deal ahead of the start of the regular season.
Okay.
Which, willing to get uncomfortable would mean, you know, if you guys are going to act up, we're fine.
Right.
You know, we're not just going to give you
away. We're not going to give in. Right.
Yeah,
we're not going
to just get you. They both got two, maybe 3 years left on the deal. I say maybe because they've got a player options for their third year. So the Rockets are in no rush.
The Rockets aren't going to get fleeced. You're an organization, Chris. If you trade away James Harden, does the value of your franchise go down?
Yes.
All right. So
simple as that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's Raphael a business
Stone,
decision.
First time GM. You think he wants his first trade to be that he got fleeced and he got bullied by some players who had 3 years left on their deal?
Dude, you won't be GM long. I'll tell you that.
Right. So let's see. I mean, who knows what will happen, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But
that's what threw me. When I heard that, he was like, a deal's done in principle. I thought that was wow.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Rob, we do have some history-making news. Monday night, when Tampa Bay plays the Monday night football game against the L.A. Rams, they will have the first all-black officiating crew in the history of Monday night football. And it's a historic moment. So there's, I believe, 8 officials for every game. And all of them will be African-American. And, you know, that is history making. And interestingly, Rob, they've got 17 referee crews and crew chiefs. And 4 of them are black. And that's a higher percentage by far than the coaches and general managers, black coaches and general managers in the league.
Because they've, you know why, Chris?
Because you see them.
No, it's a combination. Not only that. The nepotism that goes on in the NFL. And I don't think you could do that in the referees, even if – I'm not saying that you can't hire – you know, like a guy who's running the thing can't just hire his family members. So it's open to a lot more people. We're coaching, as we've seen and we know.
You get guys trying out. And,
you know, you can bring
go through training.
Right.
Yeah, a good
point. And I think that the nepotism to me is as bad as the racism in the NFL. The nepotism, because Chris, if I'm a coach or a prominent executive, I could get my son as a low-level coach in on an organization.
Look,
he
could
be in the video room.
Who did you see? And look, he might be a great little coach for all I know. who did you see on the sidelines for New England on Sunday night against Baltimore? Bill Belichick. Was it Steve Belichick? Is that his name?
His son.
His son. And it's not just the NFL. It's certainly NBA. And, you know, I'm sure it's baseball as well, right? I mean, nepotism is rampant.
And there's companies, Chris, where they won't allow you to hire relatives. You know that? Like, it's against company policy because of it. And it's bad in the NFL. I remember when Rod Marinelli, Chris, was the coach of the Lions. And his son-in-law was the defensive coordinator. It was horrible. And he also had, like...
Is that when you asked that question? That was a good one. I give you that.
Joe Barry. I might go down in the history of the greatest questions ever asked at a press conference. I think I'm number two behind the woman who asked Doug Williams, how long have you been a black quarterback at the Super Bowl? Am I right? Isn't that number one, Chris?
That's got to be number one. That's got to be
number one. She actually asked that. And he also had, along with that, the Lions had like 6 or 8 family members working in the organization when he became head coach, Chris. How can the Lions allow Rod Marinelli, who was never a head coach on any level, he never was a high school head coach, college head coach, he gets the job as a Lions head coach, and they let him hire 6 or 8 people, including his son-in-law?
No, I'm with you, Rob. I'm with you. I always say, look, on the field, and this gets away a little bit from referees, but on the field, it's objective. You know, whoever's the best, whether it's the boxing ring, the track, the court, the field, the diamond, whatever, it's obvious. You don't care about color, because if you want to win, I don't care if the dude's green, blue, yellow, white, black, whatever, I got to take the guy that's going to help me win. When it comes to coaching, the front office, it's subjective. And let's keep it, a lot more guys can do those things than can play in a professional game. And so that's a big part of it. All right, we got an hour left. It's the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob. Lock it.